Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Fox News contributor and also contributing editor of National Review Online, DeRoy Murdoch, joins us now. DeRoy, thank you for taking some time away from the droning on the Senate floor to talk to us about this impeachment. DeRoy,
oh, I'm
DeRoy.
Sorry. Did you
DeRoy,
say something? Sorry about that.
No kidding, right?
I just dozed off there. Yes, good to talk to you. Yeah, this is really, I guess, a sort of a drug-free way to catch up on one's sleep.
True.
Sadly, I guess that's probably good for one's health overall, right?
Has your mind changed at all? Has anybody's mind been moved on the issue facing America right now?
I don't think anything's moved in any particular direction other than the general trend has been more people getting off the impeachment bus and or bandwagon, if you will, and just sort of saying, well, look, you know, we have an election in 10 months. Why don't we settle it that way? Which is, I think, kind of the way it's supposed to happen. And I've not seen any evidence, anything new, anything that has made me sit back and go, wow, this is a real mess. We need to get this guy out of here.
Yeah. Well, the president had been in Davos and working there. He's still doing the business of the office of the president while this is all taking shape on the Senate floor. We've only heard from the Democrats, essentially, because only Democrats have impeached him and only Democrats are making this case on the Senate floor. We'll hear from the Trump defense later on. But meanwhile, how do you think the president is faring amidst all of this?
Well, he's just going on and doing his job, as you said. I think the Democrats are just looking smaller and smaller by the day. These look like ants, now they look like bacteria, basically. And they're just, again, looking for something positive, something that they can do that actually will help the American people. I guess they passed the USMCA, well, that's a good thing. But apart from that, they seem focused completely and totally obsessed on the impeachment. Meanwhile, and now the Senate trial, of course, President Trump, as you mentioned, was in Davos, Switzerland, meeting with world leaders, talking about prosperity, talking about growth, talking about the fact that the bottom 10% are seeing their wages accelerate more quickly than those in the top 10%. We're seeing that exactly what we should see if you're concerned about things like income inequality, which is rather than take money out of the hands of rich people making them poorer, they're getting richer too, but not as quickly as those in the bottom half are moving up. So exactly what you'd want to see is taking place. If you're a free marketeer like I am, you're seeing tax cuts, deregulation, and the benefits of free market economics coming to bear and helping make people's lives better. And if you're on the left and you're concerned about income inequality, what you're seeing is poor people getting richer without the disadvantage of taking money out of the pockets of wealthy people, scaring them away, having them shut down their companies, retire early, or whatever. So in many respects, this is the best of all possible worlds. We've got unemployment at a 50-year low. For women, it's the lowest in 53 years. If you're Black, Hispanic, or of Asian background, it's the lowest unemployment ever. These are almost fantasy-like economic results, and this is what happens when you deregulate the economy, cut taxes, and have a pro-business tone out of Washington, D.C., as opposed to what we had for 8 years, which was, you didn't build that, that's not your company, shame on you, you're part of the problem, you know, get over yourself, et cetera, which is what we had for 8 years of hectoring under Obama.
Yeah. Talking with Fox News contributor DeRoy Murdoch. DeRoy, based on what you're saying about the economy and everything, and basically that we're not paying attention to impeachment as much as Democrats would like us to, how do you make a case for socialism in this environment? I mean, it seems like Bernie's rising to the top, but how is he going to make a case to the broad American public that socialism really is the way forward?
This is one of the things that most puzzles me about this whole effort on the part of Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, AOC, et cetera, and all these various folks on campuses to push socialism with young people apparently taking the bait. I think this pitch would be more understandable. I wouldn't agree with it, but I could understand why people were jumping onto the socialism bandwagon, if you would. 10, 11 years ago, when we had the economic meltdown, people were losing their houses, mortgages were going broke, banks were closing, bailouts, all this sort of stuff. I mean, that was definitely capitalism, not capitalism's finest moment, let's put it like that. And now you've got the opposite situation. You've got home ownership going up. You've got almost no inflation. You've got tremendous growth, jobs, wages increasing. This is exactly the wrong time to sell socialism. I mean, it's kind of like somebody running around and, you know, trying to sell air conditioners in the middle of January. You know, come back in July, maybe we'll talk to you.
Yeah.
So this is a very strange thing. And yet, I think Bernie Sanders, as you say, as he's going up, I think people probably appreciate the sense that whether you agree or disagree with him, I think he really does believe this stuff. He's not sitting there just sort of making up, you know, following the wind and following the breeze wherever it goes. I think people appreciate the authenticity. I don't agree with anything he says, but or much he says at all, but I think
real.
He really believes that. He seems real, unlike other people who get in the race and all of a sudden, whatever they believe for the last 30 years, they say, oh, well, I don't agree with that, and they you know, flip-flop like crazy.
Is it millennials
at least
that
Bernie
are really,
believes what he says.
Is it millennials that are pushing his campaign right now? I mean, is that where he's seeing the growth? And do you know, I don't know if you do, if the numbers of millennials voting for a Democrat have gone down since the economy has gone up?
Oh, that's interesting. I don't know if he has a lot of young support, in sort of the same way that Reagan, a lot of Reagan support came from young people. And I guess in a different way, maybe Bernie Sanders gives the left some sort of the same grandfatherly warmth that we got out of Reagan. Maybe that's part of it. But what you often see is that young people show up, they make a lot of noise, they go to protests, they're very active and visible. But then on an election day, they don't really show up in big numbers to vote. So we'll see if this you know, feel the burn, if you will, kind of excitement, enthusiasm actually translated into ballots being cast.
DeRoy, I'm reading this article that you have on nationalreview.com. People can check it out there. We'll share it as well. And you point out how this impeachment is not exactly Donald Trump's first rodeo being attacked and you know, just going straight for the jugular, what the Democrats have done to try to get him out of the office. They certainly don't have confidence, it appears, in their ability to do it in November. But you list off, like, all these things, and I'm remembering them. I'm having flashbacks. The 25th Amendment, Stormy Daniels, the Emoluments Clause, racism, Russiagate, Baltimore, and now this Ukraine-Orama impeachment saga, as you listed. Is the president Teflon here? Because it seems as though, even though he has done some things, or maybe it's more the way he presents things, the new way of being presidential, I guess, that Trump has moved through his tweets and his discourse, this stuff doesn't stick to him. It's amazing to me the effort that is being made to get him out of there and the things that he has withstood, especially being a Republican in office.
It's remarkable that this man of, I guess, 73 years old, who definitely could do much better things with his life if he wanted, he can go back and run his company, make billions of dollars, has been able to withstand 24/7, 365 attacks from every angle. Obviously, the left hates him. The Democrats hate him. He's dealing with the never-Trumpers on the right. And it's not like they say, well, we disagree with your policy. Let's cut the corporate rate just to 25%. It's much worse. He's racist. He's a homophobe. He's a sexist. He's anti-Semitic. He's a misogynist. And the nastiest things you can call people, he gets called all the time. You know, worse than Hitler. Somebody was on Tucker Carlson's show about 2 months after he got in, and he said he was worse than Hitler. Not like Hitler, but worse than Hitler. A lot of people would have said, you know what, I can't take this anymore, and either crawl under their desks or just say, you know what, I'll just go to ribbon cuttings and kind of keep my mouth shut. He's done the opposite. This guy's been pushing his policy agenda nonstop, and despite the 90-mile-per-hour headwinds he's been facing, he's been getting one victory after another after another. I mean, just in the last week, we saw the USMCA pass. We saw the China deal signed. We talked about the economic boom that's going on. ISIS caliphate in the Syria and Iraq area used to be twice the size of New Jersey. That's gone. That's been totally eliminated. You know, in healthcare, you've got things like the right to try. If you're terminally ill, you now have access to experimental drugs you couldn't get under Obama. In fact, when that vote went through the House, about 120-130 Democrats voted against letting people who were within weeks or months of dying have access to experimental drugs, to show you how totalitarian some of these Democrats actually are. You know, the Anwar drilling in Alaska, America being energy independent for the first time in ages, exporting oil and gas for the first time since, I think, the early 70s.
Yeah.
I mean, these are remarkable achievements being brought to the fore by a man who's, again, is getting hit from every direction all the time. Imagine if he actually had a little bit of support and faced 60-mile-per-hour headwinds rather than 90, how much more he could have accomplished. It's really incredible, and he's a tough guy, and he fights back. I was just emailing someone earlier, thinking back to the days of G.W. Bush. Very nice guy, churchgoer, read the Bible at night, etc. But you'd attack him, and he basically would just fold up and you know, hide under his desk and think, oh, well, I'll turn the other cheek and be nice. And after 8 years of that, he left the White House as just sort of a puddle on the floor because he didn't fight back against his enemies and his detractors. They just sat there and kicked his face in, and he didn't fight back at all because he figured, well, if I turn the other cheek, they'll be nice to me. The left isn't like that anymore. They might have been that way under the days of people like Hubert Humphrey and maybe Walter Mondale. I mean, these people are rough, nasty, nasty customers, and the only way to deal with them is to confront them as hard or harder than they hit you.
Right.
This is what our president does now.
I want to ask you one question. I got about 30 seconds left here. Mm-hmm. Did it have to be Donald Trump? Is Donald Trump the only person who could have weathered this storm, or is it because it's Donald Trump that this storm is here?
Oh, that's sort of yin and the yang, I suppose. I think a lot of it is because Trump and his personality are the way they are. I think there are a lot of people who, like, he could cure cancer, they'd still hate his guts. They just can't stand him no matter what. But he does fight back. He doesn't roll over and play dead. And I think almost any other Republican running in the past, in the last 2016 election, faced with this sort of thing would have just either caved in the Democrats or just sort of said, you know, I'm just going to do some foreign trips and take some pictures of the Eiffel Tower and leave it at that.
Yeah. Well, Droy, we appreciate your time here. Thank you so much. We will be sure to share your article from the National Review online and talk to you again soon.
Very good. Good talking to you guys. Thank you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.